Yeah, it's one of those ones where with the way YouTube TV is set up, if I start a program and then leave it, it will leave it as, partially watched for me. But if
Yeah.
I watch the tail end of any program, it'll put it in the watched area, and then I'm like, I gotta click two more times here. And I don't want to do like I am amuse myself at how lazy I am sometimes. So I've stopped jumping into things live and just going back and watching them from the beginning, because it's easier to then watch the end, because I know I'm not gonna watch everything anyway. Like, watching the wrestling program on the night that is actually designated has turned into, like almost not happening territory more times than not.
I'm trying to find something. I guess I'll watch the Mets and Yankees. Oh, the Florida State Spring Game's on.
Oh, Jesus.
So you can see them not score and not play defense, if that's
Yeah.
even possible. Okay. Oh,
Yeah.
did you see the, did you happen to see, I know we started wrestling, but real quick, did you see this bullshit with Harbaugh getting suspended 4 games?
I just saw something kind of come across my desk about that, and I'm like, I have no idea what the fuck's going on here. And
I guess during, I'm gonna get it wrong because I don't know, I don't remember the verbiage. He basically paid for lunch when they were recruiting somebody. I guess you're not allowed to do that because apparently it was a dead period or it was getting near a dead period or something.
oh my God.
So the NCAA goes, "Did you pay for this?" And he goes, "I don't know. I don't remember." And they said he's lying. And he goes, "Well, prove it." And now he's getting suspended 4 games. And that's considered a level one violation. That is on par with illegal recruiting because he purposely misled investigators.
That is some silly talk right there.
And he apparently wanted to go to court and be like, "Prove it," because it's impossible to prove. So, like, everyone's bringing up all, like, of course, people, me, like, Michigan people, like, Urban Meyer has a known, domestic abuser on staff. Doesn't get suspended 2 games. Who is it? Like,
Oh.
Tennessee has, like, possibly one of the biggest recruiting violations ever. No chart, nothing's coming down from
Oh,
it.
right.
Like, one of the funnier things I read was someone's comment. It's like, "Well, Harbaugh's getting suspended 4 games. Missouri's getting 2 years probation." Because, that's what the NCAA always does. Whenever there's something huge going on, it'll be like Middle Tennessee's women's volleyball gets suspended 2 years when Alabama, gets caught doing something. It's just how it always works.
Yeah, it has not always been, let's say, fair and balanced.
Yeah, and now it's even more, and now it's actually even worse because of the NIL stuff and, like, just schools doing whatever they want with it. So that's why I'm confused why buying a kid a cheeseburger,
Oh.
it's, the NCAA has to know that their time's limited. Because with the way these conferences are going, how big the schools are getting, and especially with all the players having more control over themselves,
Oh, right.
they're not needed. Because honestly, the Big Ten and the SEC could go, "Fuck you."
Oh,
No.
yeah, they do
Just say
not
no.
necessarily need to play, especially now that all of them, they create, what was the Big Ten the first one with their own network and then everyone
Yes.
else? So, everyone at this point has successfully A, started their own network, and then B, co-opted it to, a larger, more established entity.
Yeah.
And
I mean, the ACC and SEC runs through ESPN's domain.
oh,
So
yep.
they're like a major partner of it, which is why you always see them covered the most.
Oh.
That's just how ESPN works. So
Yeah.
You know, like
me not arguing, since weirdly it was hard to watch Pitt games, and now it is not really that hard to watch Pitt games.
Yeah. I mean, even coverage. I mean, my God, like all their college football stuff, and I know the argument would be, well, the SEC is the best. Well, okay. But it's like SEC gets the most coverage when they have two good teams, which is kind of the same. Which, you know, it's Ohio State. Finally, Michigan's gotten back to it. No. Penn State's always right there. And then that's it. Wisconsin's done for a while. Like, I think Luke Fickell will do good things there, but not right now. Minnesota's Minnesota.
Yeah.
Illinois is intriguing, but okay. Northwestern.
Iowa's that weird thing where they kind of do things, but they also don't ever really get really close to that prize.
Who was that? I'm sorry.
Iowa.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, look, they can hold you to 10 points. We can only score 2. It's like, okay, well, I mean, that's a problem, guys.
They had that game last year that was 5-2.
I think so.
5-4?
It was.
And I watched that. And it wasn't, like, terrible to watch. Because you came up with your own entertainment watching it. Like, this can't possibly end this way. I don't think it was 5-4, but it looked like a baseball.
Yeah, a high baseball score.
Yeah. But not even a high score. Well, I guess for baseball, I guess like 6-5 would be.
Yeah. Marginally high scoring. I mean, it's not the most runs I've seen, but I'd still call that high scoring.
Hey, I'm trying to find it. Where is it?
Yeah, because I think I remember what game you're talking about there, and I feel like it was early in the season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was very early, and or maybe I'm remembering it wrong, but
we're a wrong year.
I could have swore it was last year because they were terrible. Like they were, it was such a horrific offense. Okay, there is a San Diego State that's 7-3, but I don't think that was it.
Yeah, I do feel like there was a 2-safety game somewhere along the line. And maybe it wasn't Iowa. Maybe we're thinking the wrong team.
Oh, no, it was definitely Iowa. You know, the thing is, that 7-3, I believe is 2 safeties and a field goal.
Oh.
I think that's why. Hang on, let me pull this up.
Yeah. Yeah, pull up the stat line,
yes,
man.
Yes, it was 2 safeties and a field goal.
Oh, okay.
Something bizarre like that, yeah. They were tied 3-3 until the third quarter, where they went up 5-3.
Okay, yep. Yeah, the score doesn't look as crazy as what actually happened. Okay.
And I love how this is on, I don't know what site this is, let's Google, but they have a 8-minute and 35-second game recap for that game. You've got to be shitting me.
I mean, I assume that part of that 8 minutes is just complete ineptitude, at a minimum. Like, I understand that it was probably more entertaining than it would have let on.
Well, it was the ineptitude of everything that made the game entertaining. It really was like, is this seriously happening while you're watching it? And that's where, like, it just became, okay, this can't get any worse. Or am I really watching a 3-2 game? Like,
oh.
Yeah. I'm sorry, it was South Dakota State. I think I said San Diego State. It was South Dakota State. So, yeah, it just, college football's weird. Iowa's always the weird team because they're tough, right? But then they come all the way back and they win a bowl game. They made a bowl game being that bad. So, yeah. But football season, I mean, the Panthers around here reported today and tomorrow's first practice. And the Lions dodged a bullet, thank God. because Gardner went down in practice holding his knee.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and they said nothing structural. So,
well, that's good news.
I'm like, you don't really react that badly if it's not structural, right? This isn't soccer. So.
Maybe they thought it looked worse than it really ended up being, which does occasionally happen.
Yeah, but. So, yeah, so no, it's officially football. Tigers are done. So.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe someone was showing the stat when the Pirates had a winning record. They were like plus 50 runs or something like that. And now they're like negative 70 runs. And it's just like, how the fuck did that happen in one season?
All it takes is like one injury, it seems.
Well, that
start playing the better teams.
That and it just seems like that draft, like every draft is a crapshoot. That one just feels extra crapshooty to me. Like, it does not feel like sure things pan out even that frequently.
Oh, no. You have, Bryce Harper? He worked out?
Oh, yeah.
Like, but yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, it's kind of wild to me that it feels really easy to miss, and I think that's one of those things that it sucks as a Pirates fan. I'm like, I can't believe this many different management teams have missed. Like, it's almost to that. They haven't completely missed with everything, but it's just like, oh my gosh, like, There was the little bit of respite there when Andrew McCutchen and company went three consecutive years with a winning record. The Pirates have called up like almost all of their minor league, the younger people that they want to be the next generation. It's just like, I guess I was hoping things would get off to a little better start than this.
Yeah.
It's
weird
tough
with that though.
Yeah,
like you said, like they even like they're putting the draft on TV too. I mean, like the NFL started it. Well, actually, the NBA kind of. Well, I guess making a production of it. Didn't we talk about the NFL is really the first one to make a big production out of it?
Yeah,
the NBA was after that.
Yeah, I always feel like the NBA has been pretty big too. I don't know if they've coincided as far as bigness, but I guess I just remember the NBA's being a little flashier when we were younger.
Yeah. It was much more visible, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Where the NFL was always, what, on a Saturday? It went for 13 hours or something ridiculous.
Cutting back the number of rounds in the NFL draft helped greatly.
Yes. But yeah, it just made me laugh. Like, I remember watching the NBA draft, which I was obviously much more involved in watching wrestling. But I still am. But watching basketball back then. But yeah, it's lost its luster, but it just seems like, we're talking about how the NFL has a gigantic weekend now. And that's what theirs has turned into. It's gone from like the Smoky Radio City Music Hall,
no,
where Jets fans booed, to everyone gets booed now. But yeah, it's just weird how that works. And then like the NHL kind of was like, hey, we gotta start doing something too. So they did, which the NHL one is wild. And what I mean is, the NFL has the kids sitting there, right? And they get called up, and they come out from backstage.
Oh, right.
All the execs are somewhere else. The NHL is like, no, we're going to have every single scouting exec, anyone with a suit that's tied to the organization is going to be there, and we're going to make the kids sit in the stands. Like, that's crazy to me. It should really be, all right, let's get the NFL just has got it right. Just do it that way. But yeah, just
Yeah, it's a little bit of a strange one. The NHL is, for sure.
And then baseball's like, all right, here's this kid. He's 17. He plays in high school. What? Like, even the NHL, the young kids at least are playing in, like, some league. This is, like, from North Sarasota Technical High School. Like, what? So.
Yeah, there's either usually like, NHL mostly is the college and or, what is it, the juniors there in right. Canada, so.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, how does it work that when college kids are done with their season, they can just sign with NHL teams?
If they've been passed over or haven't signed a contract, I'm honestly surprised that more players have not taken that route, quite frankly.
Yeah, that's crazy to me, because I know, like, you know, that just happens. Like, that never happens with the NBA, and NFL especially. Like, do they even have their supplemental draft anymore for the NFL?
No.
I don't think so.
No, but I forget how many people that they normally sign, like, in free agency after the draft. I want to say it's between 6 and 8 players that normally get signed after the draft. Like, it's almost as many, if not more, than the actual draft class.
Yeah, good call. Forgot about that. Because it's always like, yep, all these people sign by free agents. I'm like, oh, okay. So.
Yeah, because what was it? The one, I love the guy's name, Master Teague III there. He was a running back for Ohio State. He was, like, on the practice squad for, like, 2 years or something for the Steelers.
Oh, good for him. Master Steel III?
And Master Teague III. I'm just like, okay, like, a hat tip to that one. Like... I'm not always in for a funky name, but I'm like, that one just rolls off the tongue really well here. I think we should just go with it.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know. I mean, listen, someone's got a goofy name like that. There's no way around it. It's a goofy-ass name. But at the same time, it's awfully unique. So as long as you can handle it, go with it. What are you going to do anyways?
Yeah. So,
just be mad at your parents, I guess. Like that old Key and Peele sketch would always have the ridiculous names on there, and then it would work in real names. God, how funny. But, yeah, so, yeah, oh, so I guess, so speaking of names, seems like old Dirty Dom's making quite a name for himself. Have you seen, like, the ratings and views and stuff for his videos and all that for his appearances?
No. I'll tell you this much. My YouTube notifications involve Dominic and Mommy a lot.
Well, his segment last night pulled in 2 million viewers. His was the top rated segment on Raw last night. Him and Sammy.
People love booing him.
I
love booing him.
I get it, but you're watching on TV. Like, you know, even like NXT had one of its best ratings forever during his segment in the championship match.
Yeah,
the NXT North American match. And on Friday, he was again on the show as well, and SmackDown did a huge rating last week too. Which, you know, it's camp. Obviously, go to him. But hey,
right?
He's not supposed to be on the show, and he is. So, I distinctly remember saying, "I don't want him on my TV ever again." And that this turnaround. I mean, he's still not the greatest. Let's not delude ourselves.
Yeah, the next step is going to be extremely interesting. Quite frankly. Because, like, he's going to be able to ride this out for quite some time, I would assume. But at some point, it's going to be on fumes, and he can't just, rely on that, and that's going to be interesting for sure.
Yeah, it's... He even had, like, something on NXT, it's not a spoiler, but he actually, like, questioned, like, Mommy this week. And she's like, yes. He's like, I'm always right. He goes, yeah, you're always right. But it was still, like, he actually questioned her. Which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely the next step for him, and will be the most interesting. And I guess, like, with that, it's impressive, because he's not really doing anything. The little they allow him to talk, he's gotten better. But then, like, his matches are fine. That's all they really need to be.
Oh.
So, him being added to the Judgment Day was like, ugh. And now, it's worked out so well. And I know we talked about this last week, but I know I was talking with Chris about it, actually. The whole Judgment Day thing's taken off in such an incredible way.
It almost feels... No, I think that's... I was thinking New Day as a comparison, kind of taking some time to find their bearings and go.
That's fair.
But I guess I don't think that they were as awful as how New Day was being presented up front. I don't think they were pushed as well as they should have been. But I don't. Yeah, New Day really had the. That was a bad gimmick to start with, at least.
Okay, so I wonder if I remember my history right. New Day started as a face team. But everyone hated it, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Alright.
Like, it is kind of wild that it's long enough ago that I'm like, I'm kind of barely remembering how this origin story started.
Well, it's just, it's like, yeah, because that's when everyone thinks, you know, they're supposed to do New Day Rocks and all this, and that's when it turned into New Day Sucks. That's right.
Yeah.
So they went with it, and then the crowd just started cheering for it because it became cool. And... like, this whole Judgment Day thing was just dead in the water because no one wanted to boo Edge. You know.
Yeah.
Damian Priest was whatever. They added Rhea, and everyone was like, whoa, wait a second. And it still really wasn't going anywhere until Finn came in, they dumped Edge.
Yeah.
But I still don't think it was taken off all that great with in the beginning.
No.
So it's like, I don't know, when did it turn out that this was just working? You know? And I know they feuded with, you know, Dominic. But Ray and Edge. But it's like something just clicked all of a sudden. And I'm just trying to figure out when that happened. Or was it just that slow? And there was no click. It just was that slow.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you started asking the question. I knew where you were going. I'm like, I don't really know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the same boat. At some point, it started working out, and I'm not completely sure when that was.
I mean, is it safe to say it's when Dominic got involved? And, like, the whole turns, they turned Dominic against Rey. No one boos Rey Mysterio. So
it didn't completely start then. It definitely started when the Dirty Dom stuff started to come to light. And they started those, you know what? It's when they started doing those videos. Like the little YouTube clips where they went to Rey Mysterio's house and harassed him.
You know what? There's that, and then the fact that they treated Dominic like Finn and... I keep wanting to call Damian Priest Aleister Black tonight. I don't know why, but if I say Aleister Black, I mean Damian Priest. But then Damian Priest and Finn Balor just were like, yeah, Dom's a hardened criminal now. Like, it wasn't done with like the new guy. It was, yeah, we got our homies back.
Yeah, it is pretty hilarious that they really do help sell the prison story despite the massive holes in all of its logic.
Yeah, I mean, he went like to the local jail for a couple hours. Yeah, even though Tony D, he must have been in the same prison as Tony D. So,
oh my god.
I thought, on a quick aside, that backstage thing with the Don, with, you know, Tony D, Stax, and then Pretty Deadly was pretty good. He's like, just keep walking. that was really good. I wish I would have been on TV.
Yeah, like, they showed all of the NXT locker room during the program. I would have 100% preferred something like that replace it.
Yeah. But like this Judgment Day thing, though, just to try and keep on track somewhat, just trying. It's taken off, and then you, like, even like WrestleMania, you had Dominic had a match, all of them had a match except for Damian Priest. Damian Priest then gets put in, which I guess could be argued should have been the main event. For goddamn, what was it? Backlash?
Oh yes, Backlash.
Yeah, loses to Bad Bunny, which is all but forgotten now, to be completely honest. And with, you know, shenanigans, whatever else, he loses freely, and also done. The match was done. Like he screwed up, and he knew it. So they've elevated him. Finn, even though he keeps losing, gets elevated. Rhea Ripley, just everyone loves her. And now you got Dom, who's a legitimate top heel because no one likes him. It's just crazy how this is working out.
Yeah. Honestly, the Finn part might be one of the weirder parts. You know, just because, yeah, like, it's been, he's taken a lot of L's. And I'm like, oh, are we finally seeing a better, you know, like a main roster Finn Balor at this point? Like, it's wild how long it's taken.
Well, I know he's been hurt a lot, too. But obviously, you know, that's the whole crux of the story with him and Seth Rollins.
Oh, right.
So there's that, and then, you know, it's also the guy in charge. Now, there's a little bit of a debate on who's really in charge now, but it's definitely, you know, Triple H is there at least to shield away. And he's always loved Finn Balor. I mean, hell, he was the NXT champion for, what, 2 years?
Ridiculous. And then didn't he, I'm pretty sure he had a second reign when he went back down. So, yeah, you can't love anyone more than that to be one of the few two-time NHL, good God. Now you're getting me to have brain farts.
We're not used to doing this on a Tuesday, that's why.
So. Any NXT, or a second NXT, you know, title reign.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he was the first one that had two, wasn't he? Or was it Joe? No, it has to be Finn.
Yeah, I think it's
Finn. Has to be the first one. So, because that's when the NXT, you lost it, and usually you left. So, you know, you're going back. But
yeah, it does help going back.
So, like, the contract signing and all that stuff, I liked it. I liked the only thing I didn't like was the end. I actually liked the idea of Finn just going, you know, everything stacked in my favor this time. And Seth is just looking around like, yeah, I'm on an island by myself. And then even just having Dom, like, holding the NXT title up, or the NXT North American title up.
Yeah.
Just as a reminder, you know, they didn't say it, but there's enough videos that have shown it. They all helped him win. They, you know, like, drag that point out. Just have him, like, just flaunt it, like, look what we can do. And yeah. Not get in a fight afterwards. Just that's just how the show ends with Seth like looking around like, oh man, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, and they could have ended it that way without the beatdown. The one thing that I was thinking during the beatdown, and I'm like, isn't Seth's wife going to come out and help out here at all? Hello?
I was expecting that myself, but she's tied up with Trish Stratus right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny how that happens.
Yeah, and it's like, do you want to do Becky and Rhea Ripley now? When you've got, you know, Rumble coming up, you got WrestleMania. I'm just kind of glossing over Survivor Series, obviously.
And I believe Chris and I talked about it. This is one of those, I can definitely see that Vince still has his hand in the cookie jar. Because it was just like, they looked like they were going towards Raquel and Rhea. It got stopped. It then looked like it was going to be Becky and Rhea. And then that stopped, and they went back to Raquel and Rhea, and then everyone got injured. So we didn't go back to that.
So is Raquel actually hurt?
I don't.
Is that why this is done? Because yeah, I agree with you. It really seemed like that was the route they were going.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's one where, again, like, it kind of drives me bananas not having an injury report from the WWE.
Yeah, because Liv is really hurt. That's why that happened last night.
Yeah, I was like, okay, this is enough of a specific beatdown that there has got to be a legitimate injury involved in this one.
And then, was it Byron Saxon or, the woman's name?
Oh, I felt like she was new, but everyone acted like she's been around, and I'm like, huh?
No, she's been around. Jesus Christ. Anyways, I'm sorry, I forget her name. And she goes, well, after your victory against Liv Morgan tonight, it was Byron that said it. After your victory against Liv Morgan tonight, I'm like, what victory? There was no match.
No.
Get the hell out of her. So I'm like, so was that tape before and they just changed it up? You know, just goofy shit like that. And then
Jackie Redman. You're right, yeah.
Okay, so it was like, but it just seemed like that's what was going on because right now Rhea Ripley doesn't have anything going on. Which is fine, because Damian Priest and Dominic don't have anything going on at SummerSlam as well, correct?
No, and I don't think is NXT doing an event in conjunction with SummerSlam this year.
No, you remember Great American Bash is Sunday.
Oh, that's right. So yeah, no, they are not. That's right. No.
So that actually leads back to what I was saying about the end of the show. They have no business being at, you know, technically no business being at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I mean, Damian Priest does because he has the case, which is, I think, and I guess maybe we'll cover it Thursday. It doesn't really matter, I suppose. Oh, no, I guess we can cover it next week. But just the ending of SummerSlam with Jay and Roman. Depending on who wins that, if they really want to push through with Judgment Day being like Raw's bloodline, right? That's all the rumor going around, is that's how high they are on it now.
Oh, okay.
If Jay wins, he automatically gets cashed in on. And Damian Priest is now the Universal Heavyweight Champion.
And
that way, you get it out of the way. Roman didn't lose to Jay. You've got your feel-good moment ruined, just like Daniel Bryan's got ruined. And then you've created this other group to supplant the one that just fell apart.
It seems like pretty good planning to me.
It seems like a plan, but I don't know. But it gives you opportunity. I mean, did you have Jay chase him? Hell, you could have Jimmy going after him. You could have Solo go after him. Just any of this stuff. Because I just, you know, it's just something different. It's something unexpected also, because they keep doing the tease of Damian Priest cashing out Seth anyways.
Oh, right.
And I really, the joy that happened when Dominic won the North American title, the way Finn sold it, the way Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley came in, it was like, these guys are friends.
Oh, right.
Like, the oddest way. They've all, it's like...
The opposite of... Who was that? The Riot Squad? Where it's always like, huh? How's this work? I don't see this on screen at all. their emotion during that moment, like you're talking about. Like, to me, if you weren't sold, you should be sold after that.
Yeah. It just, and then you see the joy in their faces. Well, it's kind of gone away, but I think that may have been a talking to. Like, stop enjoying it. But, like, whenever Dom would get booed relentlessly, Finn would just start cracking up, just all smiles. And Damien's over there just smirking away. Rhea, of course, you know, she's allowed to be celebrated. She's mommy. But it's like,
right?
You can just see the joy. And, you know, knowing they all got, like, Judgment Day tattoos when they were in Puerto Rico. You know, just all this different stuff is starting to show on screen. So I think it'd just be a shame to break them up already. Like, let them run and see what happens. And yo, and by the way, the plan also does include Finn beating Seth Rollins. So you got Damian with Universal, Seth with the Raw, or whatever it's called, World Heavyweight.
Yeah.
You got your Dominic group. Now, obviously, I think Dominic's not going to win the North American title or retain this Sunday, but stranger things have happened, I guess.
So. Yeah, stranger things. It kind of depends upon how interwoven they want this whole situation to be with NXT.
Well, last Friday's SmackDown was so bizarre because they were in Orlando and just kept having NXT guys showing up out of the blue. In the backstage areas and stuff. Like, I mean, it's nice they exist, but that was odd.
Yeah, it was an interesting take. Just like you said, because they haven't really done anything like that. Hmm.
That's like the first real like push of it all. So with good reason, though. I mean, the fans are getting to the point they know. They know NXT is a WWE property. They know these guys come up from there.
So. Yeah, it helps to get them a little bit of exposure, especially they do seem to have not really decided to flip characters straight away these days.
Right.
If anything, they've undersold what they did in NXT. I mean,
absolutely.
Because I still feel like Cameron Grimes really... That guy is so charismatic. I think it helped that he kind of helps himself out.
Yeah.
But they still haven't really, to me, adequately explained anything about him.
Yeah. I mean, they stripped him of his identity. He was the caveman millionaire. You know, when he was in NXT. That was something, at least. Now he's just a guy on SmackDown.
Yeah, they've made allusions to that. But have not really played into it at all.
Yeah. I mean, I made the statement a long time ago. NXT does WWE better than WWE does.
No.
To where you have like these, like even today on NXT, which you'll see, there's a whole. Oh God, who was it? I just drew a total blank who it was, which is good, so I don't ruin it for you. But there's a whole other thing.
They've had a lot of those origin story type segments recently. Like, I liked I don't know how much we've talked about the Bronco Nima and what's the other guy's name? The new tag team.
Who just, never mind. Yeah, they're on the show, yeah.
Oh, boy.
I don't.
That doesn't sound good at all. So you may as
go
well
go on to the next team. Go on to the next topic. So
you may as well have given it away with that response.
Well, as soon as you see who they're fighting, you know, like, well, they ain't winning.
Oh,
it's one of those. Okay, so we talked about this too. You don't debut people and have them lose. That's stupid. So they lose to Tony D and Stax. As soon as you see Tony D and Stax, you're like, wait a minute.
Huh?
Well, we all know who's winning this. So why are we having this match? It doesn't do any good to have a new team lose immediately. It just doesn't.
Especially to an established team that is clearly going after the championships.
Right.
And NXT, quite frankly, has been very effective at using the squash matches over the years.
Yeah, well, Yes, and especially who they've turned into squashes. But it's like also with the Tony D thing, it's their first match back. They're not losing.
No.
So it's just stupid that to do that. I mean, I remember when was it Tony Storm came back and started losing? I think didn't Taya Valkyrie lose when she came back? Or Frankie Monet, whatever her name was back then.
Yeah.
You know, it's always like, hey, I won the first week, now you lose the second week. Why? How does that establish anything?
That is one of the few frustrating habits of Shawn Michaels, I would say.
Triple H started doing that too. And it's like, this doesn't make sense. But then also, that's a Vince thing where you win, you lose, you win, you lose, you win, you lose. So, you know, no one gets over. But, yeah, these guys will be fine. But I just thought it was a poor choice. So.
No.
It's not always, not all roses this week, but, you know. But WWE's doing positive things. Judgment Day's a definite. Where are you at with this Gunther, Drew McIntyre feud?
They have a perfect out if they want Gunther to move on to bigger, you know, higher championships. Because, I mean, there isn't anyone more credible to beat him than Drew McIntyre, who has beaten everyone. And honestly, I found Gunther's argument this week, his promo this week, kind of the reasons why they should have McIntyre win. That man still has not gotten his real WrestleMania moment.
Who? You talking about Drew?
Drew.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of did. But
yeah. Yeah, he got it in front of not even computer screen people. He got it just in an empty performance center or wherever the fuck they were. To me it would be nice to see him get a big win. Are they going to do it? I don't know. Like, because to me, the main thing that drew me to McIntyre winning is I kind of keep on going, where else does Gunther go now? Because I'm not sure if he's officially beaten the Honky Tonk Man yet.
See, that's what I was wondering. And they've kind of gotten away from talking about how long he's had it. Let's see. It's 409 days. As Intercontinental Champion, as long as I see, Honky Tonk Man had it for 454. I thought that was long when I was a kid. Damn, that was a long title reign. And to just have it explode the way it did was pretty cool too. I wasn't a giant Warrior fan, but I still bought into. I really don't like the Honky Tonk Man. You know, like for good reasons, you know, back then. But
yeah,
now I've come around and I'm like, it's so stupid that it was fun. Like, and then boy, just nowhere else to go. But except, was it Rhythm and Blues, him and Greg Valentine?
Yeah, that was
poor Greg dyed his hair black. Jesus. But
oh, I still can't get the picture of him out of my head from up at the Pro Wrestling Ohio shows. Jesus.
I say this with all due respect to his talent. Greg Valentine was never a good-looking man. You know, like, younger, no. Older, no. Older now, no. He's just one of those dudes. So, that was appearance. It is what it was. So, But no, I'm torn on the Gunther thing, and especially if they want to beat Honky Tonk Man, then yeah, he has to win. Or I guess he gets disqualified, I suppose. But he's got to retain next Saturday.
Yeah, and I guess I found that segment. I'm sitting there watching the promos going, McIntyre should really do this thing. Like, he kind of seems like the perfect guy to unseat him. And then he powerbombs Gunther on a table. I'm just like, huh, things like this do not typically happen in this situation.
Yeah. And see, and that was like another thing, like the post-match beatdown. So like next week, I guess Gunther's going to get his revenge. Just like Seth should get revenge on Finn next week, maybe. But I mean, that hasn't really been indicative of who's going to win their matches, you know? So I'm okay with, like, you know, the beatdowns or the comebacks, whatever else, because it's kind of covered it up. But I just figured next week, Gunther does something, but...
Oh, right. Yeah, I expected some level of revenge since we still have another week of time.
Oh, for sure.
So, but yeah, there isn't a whole lot of time, and it would be kind of wild. I guess we would not be being the Honky Tonk Man. We'd be bumping out Randy Savage out of number eight spot. That is it. Ultimate Warrior would still be above him. So, yeah, Gunther's at least in the top 10 now. Did you mute yourself, sir?
Yes, I did. Sorry about that.
Yep. You never stay quiet for that long, so.
Well, I was actually quiet. I wouldn't say anything because I thought I heard something outside, and I think somebody's Bluetooth is still connected to the speakers outside. So I was like, what the hell is that noise? Okay. I think someone might have figured it out. So I just gotta send a quick text here.
So yeah, I mean, is there anything more to say about that one, Gunther and good old Drew McIntyre?
I don't know. I just don't know if it's time yet.
Oh,
like, even when they pushed Drew as the guy to like, come out, and we talked about it, and I had forgotten that. Yeah, he never did get his one-on-one match with Gunther. So that was pretty crazy, too. Yeah, just not realizing that singles match never happened. So I was like, all right. So when Gunther started talking about, I'm going to embarrass you, you know, embarrass your friend, I embarrass you at WrestleMania, and I'm going to embarrass you one-on-one. And I was like, oh, it really kind of hit home. And then Drew just goes and, you know, powerbombs him. I'm like, well, it's like, was that even needed? I mean, I know Drew's supposed to be like the Scottish psychopath and this, but I don't think we needed to see him get the upper hand on Gunther. It's Drew McIntyre, you know? We already know he's a badass.
Yes, he has been World Heavyweight Champion, and he beat, despite the fact that he did not have a crowd in front of him, he can still say, I beat Brock Lesnar for the championship.
Yeah, and beat him clean, too. Like, no shenanigans. So, you know, and I know it's been rocky ever since.
Oh.
Who did he lose the title to? Randy Orton, then he won it back. And that those weird, like, couple weeks thing. Who did he end up losing the title to?
Oh.
Was it Roman?
I forgot. Okay, yeah, I kind of forgot about that short stint where they had Orton win the championship. Good God. What a mess that was.
Yeah, that was just weird.
Only to give it back to him.
Yeah, a couple weeks later. And I was like, why did this happen? So, he held on with... And then he... All right, why did you... who did he lose to? So, he lost at the Reigns?
Oh, mate.
No, that was at... No. He lost the Reigns, but that was later.
Oh, Clash of the Castle there.
Yeah. Because it's not Bray Wyatt. Because Wyatt won it from Seth Rollins, and then lost to Goldberg. trying to piece all this together, so...
I'm too lazy to be looking that up right now, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's goddamn...
Does not interest me enough to actually look up.
Oh, no, no, no. See, now I'm just being stubborn. I want to know. I should have did that. Money in the Bank. Randy Orton, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Major Styles, Miz, Chairs, COVID-19. Retained against Keith Lee. Wow, that's a long time ago.
Ooh, man.
Alright. After the match, he was tapped by Bobby Lashley in the Miz. Oh, that's right. The Miz beat him.
Oh.
And then he's lost to Bobby Lashley. That's right. I forgot the Money in the Bank cash in. Damn, he lost to The Miz on a Money in the Bank cash in. He hasn't won jack all since.
No, he's been a featured player, but has not gotten a featured win in that time frame.
Wow. That's pretty nuts. I didn't realize it. That was 2021.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's one of the reasons in the back of my head that it felt like it was time for Drew McIntyre to get a big W and Gunther would be the man to take it over, but that would... I wouldn't mind using that as part of my argument next time around.
Yeah. So, I still don't... See, I guess the problem is, maybe it's time for Drew, but I don't think it's time for Gunther.
Oh.
You know? Unless they're going to... Because if they would have positioned Imperium to be a stronger unit to go up against the Judgment Day, then cool. You know, if Finn wins, right?
Oh, right.
Or if Damian wins. If Finn doesn't beat Seth, maybe Damian cashes in anyways.
That was the one interesting thing. I didn't feel like anyone talked about that scenario. Like, Seth Rollins said that, you know, he was either going to lose and walk out as champion, or Finn was going to win and Damian Priest was going to cash in on him. And I'm like, well, what happens if Damian Priest cashes in on you? Like, this is an option.
Yeah. But it'd be wild if Damian cashed in and Finn won anyways. Or Seth won. Or Finn was like, hey. He's like, hey, I had to try, man. He's like, oh, I love you. There's something. You know, just bro it out. But, yeah, it's like there's an intrigue at least.
No. But, yeah.
But it goes back to, like, if Imperium was positioned... correctly, instead of Gunther and two goobers.
They have not given them a leg to stand on.
Especially Giovanni Vinci. Jesus. And that just screams a Vince thing to me. He's like, who's this bald dude? To hell with him. The other guy, whatever. Like, it just doesn't seem like a Triple H thing. But, you know, probably wrong. So...
Yeah, I mean, they put it together in NXT, but I guess the upside for Vinci and Kaiser was that they were tag team champions down there.
Right.
Imperium is not in any way being positioned for a championship caliber run at the current moment.
I mean, their debut on Raw, they lost to Sammy and Kevin Owens. It's like, well, oh, what a great first impression. But the rest of Raw, Becky Lynch, and like they're teasing problems with Zoe Stark and Trish Stratus. And it's like, all right, I still don't know anything about Zoe Stark. You know, okay.
Yes, she's on Trish's side. It has not translated into her getting more screen time, really. Like, I guess maybe she's been at ringside more than normal. They have given her zero mic time or development time. She's just a hanger on.
Yeah.
And I don't, just like Kaiser and Vinci are kind of hangers on, it does not help when you're a hanger on in a group. Like, you need to have your own identity even if you aren't the leader.
Yeah, and I don't know. Imperium's supposed to be a team with Gunther as the leader, where Zoe was always supposed to be, like, she was never looked at as equal, you know?
That's how it is.
So, but, yeah, it's just...
Yeah, if you have to say thank you to the other person as part of your promo, you are not the lead person. Yeah. Clearly not the lead person.
Yeah, so, I'm trying to think, what else was on Raw? Yeah, Bronson Reed and Tommaso Ciampa, right?
Yes.
I do not remember what happened with this. I'm trying to remember if I watched it.
Oh, that was a really fun match. I kind of got I feel like I got a little bit of a heads up on Twitter that it was quite enjoyable. And when I watched it, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is quite enjoyable.
Okay. Well,
you know, for being a match that isn't between two big names, quite frankly, I think they're doing a good job building. That's one of the few buildings that they're actually doing well. Because when Bronson Reed has lost, it's like, hey, this guy took four finishers to lose. It's just like, okay, like, we kind of get it. And he just hasn't had his crack at the big time yet. And that's fine, you know, like, they've kind of kept him involved in some, you know, undercard highlighted feuds. And that, you know, yeah, it's a good place to start. It was a really good match, and... I believe there was some type of distraction that helped Bronson Reed in the end.
Okay.
Excuse me. Oh, yeah. The Nakamura came down.
Yeah, because he's tired of people messing with his business, so he's going to do the same thing. So.
Yep. Payback's a bitch, yeah. People.
Yeah, but you're right, though. Like, Bronson Reed gets it. Like, he's... He takes everyone's finisher, even like the Elimination Chamber. He took everyone's finisher, and then more. And then they finally all piled on top of him, and he was gone. And
yes,
it's like, all right, so he is protected in that manner. But it's like, damn, man. Like, and it was funny because it, like, aren't they calling him Big Bronson Reed?
Are they just going
a total Vince thing?
Oh yeah. A graphic listed Reed as Big Bronson Reed.
Stupid. We already know.
Like, we're looking at the TV screen.
It's like, for a guy who doesn't like carny wrestling shit, supposedly, he still does it. Or allows it. There was the Big Boss Man, which is just a play on, you know, hey, Boss Man from jail, you know, guards. He had Big John Studd.
You had Big E. Oh, hold on. That's different, I think. Hold on. Seriously, did you mute yourself in the middle of talking?
No, I don't remember doing that. I must have leaned on it. I'm having one of these days, dude. But
we'll yet again blame it on the whole Tuesday record.
Yeah, like Big E Langston, that's his name.
Oh, like, right.
He's not E. Langston, you know? Unless they were going to name him Ernie. Which, how funny would that be if Big E was called Ernie Langston?
Oh. You
know, I know there's Ernie Ladd, but still.
Yeah. Know. Well, they'll give the same reason they gave. Because who was it that... Keith Lee. Was it Big Cat? Bearcat was homaged to a former African-American wrestler there. You could sell that for Big E, I suppose, if you wanted to.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I don't like the idea, but I'm just saying that it's available should you want to go that route.
Yeah, but no, there's just no reason for these adjectives to be put on there. So,
oh no,
I get it.
Yeah,
adjectives should describe their moves, not them. Like, I don't know, like. Well, I guess they've kind of always done it, but Big's just kind of boring. Like,
Oh.
Like the charismatic enigma, Jeff Hardy. Like, okay, that's a moniker. What's yours?
Big.
Big.
Okay. Yeah. It doesn't really scream good shirt design.
Yeah, no. But yeah, I still like Bronson Reed.
Oh, yeah.
That tsunami splash is still awesome. It's not even a splash, right? We talked about this before, but if you just fall off the ropes onto somebody, that's not really... Is that a splash?
Right? It looks... No, sir, it's a tsunami.
It's so awesome. And I... Like, we were talking about, like, that Logan Paul thing that I sent you, where he, like... He caught Ricochet Splash and all that?
Oh, yes.
Even seeing that, I don't know how you don't hurt the other guy. Now, let alone something like Bronson Reed, I guess, can, you know, cover it with coming down on his own knees. With
yes.
Knee pads on. But, like...
That's a lot of human coming down. And some of it's hitting you.
Right, and then even in, like, Ricochet's case, attacking Logan Paul, it's like, he spins and he kicks himself so quickly to get around. Like, that's got to be some body control not to just crush the other guy, who's very clearly going to tense up anyways.
Oh, right.
You know? But...
Yeah, Logan Paul knows how to take a bump, that's for sure. And, but still, what's his name? Yeah, Ricochet is just a giant ball of muscle come landing on you.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like Logan Paul's not in good shape, you know, but
yeah.
Regardless, too hard. So what's better, a softer object falling on you or a harder object falling on you? And I'm not talking like pillows to concrete. I'm talking like, you know.
Giant Bronson Reed to muscle ball Ricochet.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Her abs didn't make it sound like a xylophone. That's your really good one.
Quite the zinger there.
I meant, what? Is the xylophone the thing that looks like a pill? Remember when you were in grade school? And you had like the stick and you would go back and forth on it, like a washboard?
Yeah, that's a xylophone.
Oh, all right, so yeah, I nailed it. All right. Pretty happy with that one, actually.
Yeah. It's like a piano, except you're using a single hammer.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, because it's just like little flat boards.
No, that's not what I'm talking about, actually.
Oh, okay.
God damn it, that messed it up. Fuck.
Yeah, well, that's what a xylophone is. I don't know why I remember that, because that was like popular in cartoons with Bugs Bunny. And that was a long-ass time ago.
It was shaped, it was round, and it had, you played it with a stick, and you just, like, ran it back and forth, kind of like a washboard thing, and...
You're not thinking, like, the turtle shell drums that used to get used in the cartoons?
No, this was actually, that we used them in our music class, with stick. Instrument with stick.
Oh, my God.
Wait. I don't know how I found it. Holy shit, my awful search there. They're calling it a gyrus with scratcher. I don't think that's it. What instrument is played with a wooden stick? No, that's not it. Sticks and ridges. Oh, yeah, that's what it is. The gyro. Or gyro. Huh.
Yeah, do not remember that at all.
So anyways, yeah. So
Yeah,
so that Logan Paul thing, for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, Logan Paul posted, or was it WWE posted, of Logan Paul's video of him getting kicked and splashed by Ricochet, and it's a close up and it's really cool.
Yeah, it's him. Yeah, it's the legitimate film that Logan Paul had on his phone. And, yeah, head nod to Logan Paul knowing where Ricochet was coming from and ever so gently positioning his camera for a fantastic angle of the Shooting Star Press splash there.
Yeah.
Or running splash or whatever they call it.
I'm not sure what to make of this match. Because Logan Paul's never won. right? No, he won the tag match at WrestleMania with Miz, but he's never won a singles match.
Correct. Yeah, this really seems like, I'm like, this feud is like one of those, they have had the moments, so it helps to sell this story. This is the lowest on the card Logan Paul has worked, by far.
Which probably means it could be his best. Isn't that usually what happens? You know, we saw their interaction at the Rumble where they smashed into each other.
Oh, right.
We saw like what happened at Money in the Bank. So it's like, all right, they're both willing to do stuff. So it's like, all right, the match could be pretty crazy if they want to get all their stuff in. But I'm just trying to figure out, like, does this... And you can hopefully fix anything, but it's like, I know Ricochet's not huge on the card, right? So I have no delusions there. But doesn't a loss here kind of, like, diminish him a little bit? Like, the YouTube star he's been calling out the whole time beats you? I mean, obviously outside of cheating. If they do a really big cheating angle, fine. But...
Yeah, I mean, Ricochet's been dead in the water for a long time at this point. He still pulls off fantastic moves. His athleticism is pretty much second to none. If you want to argue about Montez Ford, I'm here for you. I'll take the time out of my day to get into that one. But, you know, there's kind of a limited list to me of athletic-wise what they can do that are much better than Ricochet, quite frankly. But his career just has never really taken off. And like you said, like, Logan Paul hasn't had a win. This seems like a time for him to get a W here if you want to keep him near the top of the card. If he's just going to kind of wrestle rando people and he's essentially a more available John Cena, let's say. Okay, too. Like, you know, it's going to be interesting, I guess, to see which direction they go with how they use him. Because this is the first foray into him not being at the top of the card. And if he, because how many years, did he say how many years he signed for?
No, he said he re-signed, but I don't know what that means. You know, if he just signed up for, like, some more matches, if he actually signed, like, a longer-term thing. Because I guess after WrestleMania, wasn't that it? And then he re-signed, like, right after?
Yes. Yeah, that was supposed to be it, or maybe even WrestleMania was in jeopardy for some reason or not. I'm trying to remember what Chris and I discussed, and I can't completely remember.
Well, he'd be a fool. Well, I mean, I guess he wouldn't be a fool. He seems pretty successful. but, like, he'd be a fool to, like, would have jeopardized WrestleMania. Like, no, bud. Like, this, if you do this, Triple H would be like, oh, I'm done. You know? And you're clearly gaining more fans by using WWE as a platform as well. Like, Ricochet wasn't exactly saying anything wrong. You know? I mean, that's what Logan Paul signed it, and he's like, all right, using him to, like, expand his brand. Just, that's what he does. I guess, isn't that just what him, it's what he did. He's the guy that fought Floyd Mayweather.
It's kind, this was one where real life experience pops in here. And the nephew that just stayed over this past weekend, avid prime drinker. Aware of Logan Paul as an entity because he enjoys that he originally played to become famous. Fortnite.
I don't to this day. All I know is he's in WWE and he has his impulsive show. That's all I know about this guy.
So he was a gamer, and I might be wrong on the game, but the nephew is aware of him because of his gaming skills. Interestingly enough, though, when we turned on SmackDown on Friday, he was unaware as to the fact that Logan Paul had been up to some shenanigans, you know, for the better part of 2 years now in the WWE.
Wow, really?
So, you know, that's one of those things that... it was kind of funny just because I saw the headline in general. I think Dave Meltzer retweeted something about it, about wrestling overload at this point. And that's it. You got me in the habit, and now I'm like, oh, why the fuck am I watching AAA now on Fridays?
Yep.
Like, it's just like, it's fun because it's so outside the, like, there's... we've kind of talked about how AEW is essentially WWE light. Like, I do feel like Tony Khan does things differently and definitely has different philosophies than Vince. So there's never, to me, like, any mistaking them. But presentation-wise, there isn't a whole lot of difference between the two.
Yeah.
You know, like... so, yeah, how they present things and who develops what is a little more free in AEW. But what I see on screen, like, you know, fireworks at entrances, this, that, and the other thing, they're pretty comparable, you know? And it's hard to do something on a budget and... be too different from each other, quite frankly. So, yeah, that AAA stuff, I'm just like going, oh my god, this stuff is just so outside the box. Like, and even, I guess even with New Japan, they have their own style, but it almost still seems way more comparable to me to the WWE and AEW than it does to AAA.
AAA is such a conundrum of a show. Like, I keep forgetting to tweet at Conan going, can you please put subtitles up? Or can you please have an English audio track? Because I think being able to understand the announcers would help that quite a bit. Because I'm not going to learn Spanish. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. Not that I'm stubborn and don't want to try. I'm just, I'm not going to learn it. So it's just one of those things. So I don't even know how I got into it because I didn't enjoy it. I still don't know if I enjoy it.
Oh,
but damn, I enjoy some stuff when I see it on there. But
yeah, I have no idea if I'm enjoying it or not. But it is presented so differently. It's just like, I don't know what to say here. Like, the fact that men and women hit each other with no regard to sex, basically. Fascinating. Like, just such a departure. Like, because, like, even, again, like, AEW kind of draws those same type of lines that the WWE does. AAA,
nah.
Fuck those lines. Like,
yeah,
whatever. If you're in line to get assaulted, you're going to get assaulted.
Yeah. And it's seemingly everybody tears somebody's mask apart.
Oh my gosh. Like,
show.
Yeah, I had no idea that. Well, to me, it's just like everyone's had their identity revealed. I've only been watching the show for like 2 months, and I feel like everyone's had their mask ripped off at some juncture.
Exactly. Like, this past one I watched, Psycho Clown, within the first 5 minutes, his mask is ripped apart to the point where he's holding his mask up. Because it's been ripped so bad, the bottom of his mouth is showing. And it's like, okay, and he disappears for like 10 minutes, comes back with a brand new mask on. So I get the feeling like the spot went wrong, and he's like, god damn it, because it was clean. And then, like, Laparca's always getting his torn out. Like, everybody has their mask ripped. And, like, over here, if somebody messes with someone's mask, especially on AEW, they rip it off. It's like, oh, it's the ultimate insult. I'm like, I see it every week on AAA. So it's not.
Yeah, I'm beginning to not buy what American wrestling has been selling for a really long time, quite frankly.
I think it's fair. I think it's fair and accurate.
The mask is sacred. Like, again, like when you see it get one per week getting ripped off, it's just like there's nothing sacred about this, guys.
Like, sometimes it's always the same guy.
Yeah, because I think they were doing a because I watched a couple of shows this past week, and the one was just like the build to Triple Mania, and so I'm pretty sure that it was Sam Adonis and Psycho Clown were building up to their feud, and they showed at least two or three different segments where Psycho Clown was barely wearing a mask.
Yes. Yeah, it's just, I mean.
It's just like, I'm sorry, your identity has been completely ruined, sir.
There was one week, and this is where I really needed, other translation. I could have swore Sam Adonis and Pentagon were teammates, and then they were going against somebody else. I thought it was a tag match. And I was like, what a weird thing to have. No, I thought Sam Adonis and Alberto El Patron were teammates going against Pentagon and whoever his teammate was.
No.
Then they all start fighting each other. And I was like, what? Like, everyone's awful calm to begin with this. But I was like, Sam Adonis is a guy I'm not sure why we don't hear more of. I don't know if I like him. But he's very noticeable.
I was crying when he's cutting promos in Spanish. So
yes, last week.
Good for him. And then again, it was just the build up, and I tweeted about it. But in that build up show for them on YouTube, he had a U.S. soccer jersey and was trolling them over the 3-0 win over Mexico. I'm like, you're such an asshole.
And that got more heat for him talking about soccer than the match did. And I also love his manager, the Mexican guy that constantly waves the flag, the U.S. flag.
Yes.
It's kind of like a Sergeant Slaughter sort of deal.
Yep.
But so, and I know we've gotten away from Raw, but whatever. This is more fun. Well, not more fun. Raw was fine. It wasn't bored. So, anyways. But I love the way flags get treated in wrestling now. They just get, like, if someone's done with it, it gets tossed over a rope to somebody. Sometimes they, like, if it's, like, in particular, what got me was, they had, like, Sam Adonis was supposed to be waving the flag, the U.S. flag. And what I mean by treat it is, there's a certain respect you're supposed to show your flag, no matter what country it is, right? So, it's not supposed to touch the ground, you're supposed to treat it, dig, all, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, we make fucking
all the usual stuff
here. Yeah. But it's like, it's all bullshit. We make fucking flag bikinis here. We wear them as capes. It's like, it's just, you know.
Yeah, like, it's
you
a.
You better not kneel for it. Like, motherfucker, take your flag hat off. Shut up.
Take your flag bathing suit off. No, not right now. Not right now.
Yeah. You got to start the stripes on your asshole. Fuck off.
I can't. I can't wait to deal with that in 2 weeks. Anyway.
I was like, oh. So, yeah. It's just nonsense, but I mean, just remember, like, in the 80s when we grew up, Hacksaw's got the flag, he's proud of you. Proudly puts it in the corner, make sure it doesn't get messed up and all this, right?
Yeah.
And then you see Sam Adonis, like, yep, and he just throws it over in the corner, or even the guys with the Mexican flag. They don't give a shit about this thing.
Well, and I do believe we've had a flag between crotch and butthole recently in Canada.
I was just bringing that up. Was that Jay White?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, okay. And then,
I'm here for flag desecration to be back on the wrestling menu.
But it doesn't. But everyone does it with like there's no repercussions. So like, what happened? Nothing. So.
Oh.
It's just so it's just fun to point out because of what a big deal it is to show respect to a flag, you know?
Oh, right.
And you've seen wrestling as like, yes, I'm from this country and I'm doing this, and all right, I'm done, let's go. Like, just because I remember when I worked at SeaWorld, man, there were stringent rules about that thing. And to the point where I was 30 minutes away and I had to turn around because we didn't have cell phones yet. To make sure I took the damn thing down at night. And I got to the gate, and I was like, hey, did you get the... He's like, yeah, we got it. I was like, okay, thanks. Because, you know, if you're not supposed to... It's not supposed to be displayed at night without a light on it. That was one of the rules.
Oh, well, then put a light on it so that people don't have to take it up and down.
Well, if it rains, you're also supposed to take the flag in as well.
Yeah.
So...
Okay, then.
I don't disagree with you. And that was my argument. So, yeah, it's... And now it just stays up no matter what. So it's like, I guess times are changing. I don't know. Or people just forgot because it's literally... And I'm sure this will upset somebody. It's just a piece of cloth. So, it means... Yeah. It honestly means different things to different people. Some good, some bad, some indifferent. Like, you know, like, Rage Against the Machine got banned from Saturday Night Live for displaying the flag upside down during one of their shows.
Oh,
which means state of emergency. So it was a political statement. They didn't like it. And then they said, well, no, we ran out of time. And they've never been back on.
Well, I mean, I guess I wouldn't have expected them to be on a second time, quite frankly.
Yeah, since they only have one good album. So.
Yeah, as much as I... love them. Two good albums.
I'd say the amount of songs they have could fill one other one. And the follow-up, what was that? Bulls on Parade?
Yeah, Bulls on Parade.
And it's just the same obnoxious beat the entire album. And I'm like, oh my god. I haven't listened to it in a long time. Because I didn't like it at all.
I do like that. I guess I like Bulls on Parade a little bit more than you do.
Yeah. if it's on the radio, I'll turn it off. I'm like, no, I already know how this goes. Wait, am I mixing up with People of the Sun?
Well, it's all the same album.
Exactly. It's just, I kind of just backed up my point on the back, on the sly. I didn't even mean to. There was the one they did the covers one. That was fun.
Well, they honestly, the ones after that, they kind of went a little wackier. And honestly, they just didn't really last that long either.
No, they flamed out quick. And then I'd argue Audioslave was better.
I don't know if Sound Against the Machine... or Rage Against the Garden was, I don't know.
I kind of like Rage Against the Garden, actually.
Yeah.
I think it's just kind of funny.
that was my main problem with that one, is it's just like, okay, this just sounds like two bands threw their sound together and this is where we're at. Like, there wasn't even really any tweaking from the formula. It's just like, no, I'm just going to do the thing that I was doing before, and I'm going to do the thing that I was doing before, so let's just do it together instead. It's like, okay.
I don't know. Musically, they had different shifts that Rage Against the Machine could never take. Like, what's the slower one? Like a Stone? Something like that. It was a slower one. And, like, you could never have that as a Rage Against the Machine song. So to know, that the musician part had it in them to do.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Cornell had something to do with it, too, because, you know, he was a songwriter as well, that you couldn't really hear that from Rage Against the Machine, because the fans were shit on it. They just wanted it to be angry music about whatever. And I think, lyrically, it clearly was different from Rage Against the Machine. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But... No, I don't know.
When you have two different vocalists coming at things. Yeah, Zach De La Roca came at things a bit different than Chris Cornell.
A little bit, yeah, I'd say so.
No, I'm completely underselling that, but that's all good.
Well, no, it's not an underselling, it's just the truth.
Yeah.
You know, it's two different cultures.
Yeah.
You know, the places you grow up and places where musically you're growing up, too.
Yeah.
You know, Seattle and L.A. are two totally different things, which I think is where he was from. I don't know.
Okay.
But
yeah,
but
not anyways. Completely sure.
Yeah, but yeah, so when, how that gets to Lucha, yeah, I don't know, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you want to just go ahead and call this one a night since there could be a second one of these crazy podcasts this week?
Yeah, we're going to be back Thursday, so might as well save it.
Okay, Bell Time Beer tonight on my end. Wolf's Ridge Brewing 9th Anniversary blend of 100% barrel-aged beers, 11.6% alcohol, 40 IBUs. It is, and it's a fucking laundry list here. Their Bourbon Barrel Dire Wolf, which is a Imperial Stout, Maple Barrel Dire Wolf, Bourbon Barrel Little Nipper, which I'm trying to remember which style of beer that is, but it's a different style of beer, and the Triple Whiskey, all blended together into one melange of flavors.
Sure.
These blend beers from Wolf's Ridge every year are something that I look forward to. It's really weird because I feel like you can taste all four of the different beers that they throw in there because they're all very strong flavors and they're just kind of hit you one after the other. So, yeah, if you happen to be around the Columbus area, or really in Ohio, I believe Wolf's Ridge delivers all over Ohio. So highly, highly suggest trying a lot of different Wolf's Ridge beers, even if you're not going to get the 9th anniversary beer anywhere, more than likely.
Wow.
So,
I just had a Gatorade Zero Cool Blue. And, we can go over what's in this thing, but I don't understand some of the words. So,
fair enough.
Let's not do that.
At Stunt Granny is the brand. I am at DeFrango11. He is at Granny Maze. Listen to us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google, or Stitcher. And hey, if you feel like it, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts. How about that? I reversed everything this week. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.